All right, everything looks good.
You look good, sir.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
With your Super Mario shirt
Made my day. Made my day, man.
That's what I do, man. I just try to make your day. That's what I want to do every single day.
That's the whole thing, right? I got you.
That's the goal, man. That's the goal there. What's been goody, man? How was the weekend?
It was pretty rainy. I'm sure you noticed.
Very much so.
Yeah. So, I went and saw Dune. You know, it started at like 8 a.m. I got out there about 4 p.m. I went and saw that Saturday morning, and then I went and me and my wife went and caught some dinner at Noble Smoke in Charlotte.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if you've partaken in that establishment yet.
I don't think I have. Highly recommend.
It's right off, it's off of Freedom Drive. It's, it's supposed to be like a, kind of like a fancy, fancy barbecue place.
Oh, gotcha. It's not like Porky's.
Definitely not like Porky's. it's really nice. It's a little expensive, but it was pretty good.
There's a restaurant in the town that we grew up in, guys, China Grove. There's a barbecue pit called Porky's. I'm not talking about the raunchy 80s movie Porky's, which also consisted of a pig. Yeah. That's beside the point, though. What else did you do, brother?
You also got Gary's out there, too. Gary's Barbecue.
Yes, we do. But you live closer to Porky's, so that's where we always went to.
Correct. then we went out to Skylark to catch a band, Strike the Tower. Really awesome musicians and friends of ours and part of the music scene like we are as far as 50 Flies is concerned.
Cool.
So check them out on Spotify. Strike the Tower.
Nice.
Pretty awesome.
Very nice, man.
What you been up to this weekend?
Like I said, it was rainy, man. So,
yeah.
Did some running around. Went to go see Dune 2 again. Nice. Hung out with the popcorn bucket. Played some Madden with the fellas. My niece's birthday, so dinner with them. It was good, man. Did a lot of running around.
Okay.
Had a good time, man. Definitely a good weekend. The rain came, but it didn't damper the weekend. So, not bad, man.
Right. Okay.
Let's jump into the biggest, like, the Super Bowl of Hollywood. Let's drop that news, bro. All right, team. Hope everybody's doing well.
I had to brush the dust off that button, man. We
haven't used that in a little bit there. So, we got some movie news here for you, team. Last night, we're recording this on Monday. Last night, the 10th of March, was the Oscars, the 2024 Oscars. And did you watch?
I did not watch. I've been catching clips.
Nice,
all day long.
Nice. Very, very good. I typically have not watched the Oscars since David Fincher didn't win for Social Network. I've been boycotting it, but...
you're so mad about that, yeah.
I had a feeling that the Oscars were going to get it right this year. I had a feeling. And I was right, man. Just a few of the winners. Best Picture, Oppenheimer. Like... That was a gorgeous flick, man. Just awesome. Cillian Murphy won for Oppenheimer. Robert Downey Jr. won for Oppenheimer. You know what I mean? Yep. Christopher Nolan finally won Best Director for Oppenheimer.
Maybe we should say all the ones that won everything else that wasn't Oppenheimer. That might be a little faster.
That would be a little faster, yes. Yes, you're right. Yes, you are definitely right there.
But all well deserved. All well deserved.
Of course. Of course. Of course. And then big ups to Emma Stone and Poor Things. I haven't seen that yet, but it's on the list. And Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers. Now, we talked about both of those movies. We reviewed both those trailers, like dope flicks. Definitely got to add them to the list here. Did you see your boy? Did you see the clip of your boy John Cena on the Oscars?
His wardrobe change? Is that what you're talking about?
His wardrobe. Body of a Greek god, man. Ridiculous.
Right. Crazy.
Ah, man. Big ups to definitely all the Oscar winners out there, man. It was dope. Really had a good time. Even like Ryan Gosling brought the house down with Knuff. The performance, it was good, man. This was actually a really good Oscar. It's been like my favorite Oscars that I've watched in a very long time. Mind you, it's been 14 years, but I used to watch it religiously before that. They finally upped their game.
That's dedication there. Wow.
And then obviously, when it comes to the Oscars night, there's also the Razzie Awards. Do you know about the Razzies?
I do now. I didn't know that was a... I didn't know there was a specific ceremony for that.
Oh, yeah.
Which is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Razzie Awards 2024. Have you watched this movie yet, Winnie the Pooh, the horror movie?
Nah, man. I was going to catch it this weekend. I was excited about it, but, you know, other things prevented me from giving it the attention it deserved.
Well, just going to run down real quickly here. Your girl, Megan Fox, won award for Worst Actress and Worst Supporting Actress in another movie. Sylvester Stallone got Worst Actor. I think Expendables won for Worst Movie. No, Expendables was nominated. Oh, yeah. But the Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey took home the Razzie for Worst Picture. Just beautiful, man. So we definitely got to check that out. Probably got to hang out, BS to that movie. Just have a good time, man. I think that's going to be one of those we just got to while out too.
Let's go.
Because what's gonna happen after that is the Mickey Mouse horror film. Now that one is gonna be real good when they actually face off against each other, and that's gonna be the real brawl. Welcome to this episode of Movie in a Pod. I'm Clyde Smith.
And I am Javier Villalobos.
On this episode, we're discussing the trailers for The Idea of You, Knox Got Away, in our movie of the week, Dune, Part 2. We're going back to Arrakis, guys. All right, team, we got some trailers here for you. This love rom-com drama thing with Anne Hathaway. And then we got the starring and directed Knox Got Away with my man Michael Keaton. Super excited for this one.
Good boy.
Yeah, well, guys, we have a YouTube page. Click that link tree in the show notes and get there. Like, share, subscribe, and bring a friend along, guys. Appreciate you.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, Javi, excuse me, man. I'm actually going to go learn how to play an instrument so I can get Anne Hathaway. Excuse me.
Yeah. You got this.
Oh, man. What a trailer, bro. What a trailer here. So let's take a look. According to IMDb here, we have The Idea of You. Celine, a 40-year-old single mom, becomes an unexpected romance with 24-year-old Hayes Campbell, the lead singer of August Moon, the hottest boy band on the planet. All right. Starring Anne Hathaway and Nicholas Galtazine, directed by Michael Showalter. What do you think, man?
Looks like it's going to be a pretty good time, and we got some great actors here. Love story, right? That's cool. Not 100% my thing, but I do enjoy a movie that wraps up some music, some live showings, and some fun stuff like that. So,
big fan of High School Musical, right?
Check it out when it comes by. My favorite, man.
Dope. Hey, guys, what I liked about this trailer is typically it's almost like a white how Stella got her groove back, right? How like the older girl, older woman gets the younger guy, and will they, won't they make it? But kind of she kind of grows through the process and refines herself. So yeah, that was kind of cool. Something that's going to be an Amazon Prime drop, so I don't have to go to the theaters to go see this, but you know, something I might curl up on the couch and watch. It's under 2 hours, so
you know you're going to. There's no might about it, Clive. There's no might.
Come on. Not as you know, it's not as long as it was like, you know, being on Arrakis, you know, both times. Yeah. But you know.
You put in a whole day's work just watching that movie two times.
Oh yeah. Hey, team, we're going to throw the idea of you on our socials. Let us know your thoughts. And also, question, what is your favorite Anne Hathaway movie? Tell us in the comments, team. All right, team. According to IMDb, here we have Knox Goes Away. When a contract killer has a rapidly evolving form of dementia, he is offered one last job. He is offered an opportunity to redeem himself by saving the life of the adult son with whom he has been estranged. Starring and directed by Michael Keaton. Got Al Pacino, Marcia Gay Harden, James Marsden, and a whole host of other people as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This is like a psychological thriller is what it is. And I'm here for it, brother. I'm here for it. Because, like, this trailer, as much as it really didn't make sense of what was going on, I think that's kind of the purpose, right? Like, what is he believing? What does he remember? Yeah. What is truth? What is real and what is fake? Who's telling him the truth? Who's telling him lies around him, right? And he's just trying to do this one last job before he dies. So, as every old tough guy does.
Yeah, hopefully that carries like through the whole movie. Like you don't know things before he does, right? You kind of want to discover along the way.
Yeah,
that's the only way for this movie to be interesting, right? If it gives it all the way up at the beginning, you know, probably not going to stick with it.
Yeah, no, definitely agree, man. It was weird. So like Ben Affleck had a movie that came out directed by Robert Rodriguez. It was last year, I believe. And I went to go see it just like on a whim. And it was kind of like this, like what is real, what is not. Whatever that movie was, I can't remember. It told what was happening really fast. So it was like, okay, I'm not interested in any of this anymore. This is boring. It was hypnotic, is what it was. And it was like, it told it real too fast where you kind of got the twist. So you followed as they just discussed the twist and you were like, that was the whole gimmick was trying to figure out like what was real, what was not. Let me as the viewer keep thinking that the entire time. I hope Michael Keaton takes a different turn and keeps us guessing and keeps us twisting and turning because that's the fun of it. Right. So I'm excited, man. This one, you know, it's going to be one of those Saban films. You know, Saban is the team who created the Power Rangers, the American version. You know, so they make like low budget action thriller movies. But I'm in the theater for this one, man. Directed by Michael Keaton. So we might have to add this to the list, bro.
Cool.
Yeah, team. Team, so let us know what your thoughts is about Knox Goes Away. Also, what is your favorite Michael Keaton movie? And yes, it is Batman Returns. I know, team. I know. He's barely in the movie.
Yeah.
He's barely in the movie, but it's our favorite team. Let us know in the comments. All right, bro. Let's jump into this week's movie.
Sounds good.
Going back to Arrakis here. All right. Dune Part 2. Dune Part 2 just was released on May 1st in the United States, team. Yep. This movie is directed by Denis Villeneuve and written by Denis Villeneuve and John Spatz.
We have a $100 million budget for this one, and so far it's grossed $369.5 million. Starring, we have Timothy Chalamet as Paul Atreides, Zendaya as Johnny, Rebecca Ferguson as Lady Jessica, Josh Brolin as Gurney Halleck, Austin Butler as Feud Ratha Harkonnen, Florence Pugh as Princess Arulan, Dave Bautista as Gluso Robin Harkonnen, Christopher Walken as Shaddam. We have a quite a hard hitting cast for the rest of them as well, but
kind of a hard hitting cast for the rest of them. Definitely. All right, brother. So before we hop into this flick, almost a three hour runtime as well. Give us a quick synopsis.
On the planet of Arrakis, there is an ongoing fight over control of the planet's resource known as spice. Paul Atreides, who's thought to be dead by many, fights with the other people on this planet in order to take back control of the planet and possibly ascend back to his place on the throne.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, man. So let's start at the top here. We got Timothy Chalamet reprising his role as Paul Mahdeep Atreides, the Duke of House Atreides, who sides with the Fremen to overthrow the tyrannical House Harkonnen there. We get like a young Duke in part one, and we get like he just kind of accelerates as far as who he is, what he is about in this one, man. And the maturation is what is fun to see in this. Like, did you watch the original Dune movie from the 80s?
Not recently.
Yes, I just finished it last night. I just finished it last night.
Okay.
What it does in a little over 2 hours is just kind of speed through this entire process. From Paul getting to Arrakis and Paul becoming the Messiah and his weird crap in between. Yeah. The fact that in Dune Part 1 we got the setup and then the downfall, but then in Part 2 we got the struggle and how he kind of ascends. You really needed those 5 hours to do this, man. You couldn't do this in one movie. It was the smartest move because you see a young kid and then you see him, he learns the Fremen way. He starts understanding that he does have special gifts and abilities through the spice, that he sees things, right? He sees the future, falls in love with Chani, right? Sees his mom and tells her to go to the south to, tell the people of our good word and stuff right there. So there's so much happening that you couldn't put into one movie. And that's what I really appreciated of the split, because you saw that maturation process with him. It was really cool, man.
It was really good, like you said, just not being bored, right? They didn't play a lot of stuff over and over, right? Like to fill, there wasn't a lot of filler time. It was good scenes and basically everything meant something, throughout those throughout the scenes of the movie. Everything had a meaning, whether it was just pushing very cleverly to like the next step, right? Because it's a big time lapse, even during the movie.
Exactly. It's years in the second one.
Yeah. 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 And it did a great job of keeping you interested.
So, you know, Paul being the main character, I think we'll spend the most time talking about him, but like you have him hanging out with the Fremen and then learning the Fremen ways. And then him, you know, the Fremen not really believing in him, except for Stilgar, who is my favorite character, and we'll talk about him here in a minute. Javier Bardem for the Oscar. Best supporting. Anyway, you know, holding on to that faith. So then he goes through these trials and stuff about, you know, staying, you know, out, not getting eaten by a sandworm and being out there and going to the end of the sand and coming back. Him actually riding a giant sandworm, which was the most ridiculous, beautiful scene that I've ever seen in a movie in a very long time. I mean, it was creepy. It was scary. It was beautiful. You felt like you were riding this thing with him. Yeah. Man. It was awesome. You know, so just all the stuff that he does, him proving himself to be like a wartime general as well in this, in, you know, during this fight between the Fremen and the Harkonnen, I just love the maturation process, man. I really was not, I wasn't set to see that Timothy Chalamet could act. This movie proved that to me, that like first one, not really much so, you know, with Oscar Isaac and all those other great actors. This one, he had to lead, right, and he led and he acted his ass off, man. He was a fantastic Paul in this movie here. So, all right. We also have Zendaya as Chani, a young and rebellious Fremen warrior who is Paul's love interest here. I hate reviews. I hate listening to everybody else's reviews, even though that's what me and you basically do for a living. But like a lot of what I've kind of read was they didn't seem natural. Like their love, their togetherness. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's one of the strongest parts of the movie, man, is them together. Well, like, I mean,
they're also like out in the desert trying not to be eaten by sandworms and stuff. I mean,
exactly.
They can't go hop on the private jet and go, you know, go take some pictures out at the edge of the beach. You know, they can't do that. So
exactly.
No, I mean, I had a good time with it too. I mean, it was in there enough to where you knew they were kind of, you know, interested in each other up to a certain point where you absolutely knew they were interested in each other. But it wasn't overdone to where it was like, you realized they were still soldiers and warriors in this thing and not able to really be much more than that most of the time.
Exactly, because they have to fight. It almost reminded me of like Neo and Trinity in The Matrix, where like they did love each other, and we saw glimpses of their love in that first trilogy. You know, but they didn't overdo it. It was just the right amount of love story added to this war, and that's what I really did appreciate about these two. Obviously, Zendaya being the great actor that she is, she brought it. I love that she just was. Even in that suit, even with her hair pulled back, right, she still showed like that beautiful charm that she did, and everything else that she's done before that, man. So really appreciated her in this role and just kind of being the Fremen warrior who brought him along, right? She thought he was kind of bullshit at first, but he then jumps in and she's like, okay, there's something about this kid. Something about this guy. Yeah. I like this guy, man. So really fun there. We got Rebecca Ferguson returning as Lady Jessica, Paul's mother. And she has a weird kind of thing that happens to her, right? She becomes the Reverend Mother of the Fremen. And then she kind of goes south and starts spreading the tall tales of her son being the Messiah, being the one to liberate the Fremen people and the people of Arrakis and stuff like that. And like, that word starts to spread. What's up?
Yeah. That whole thing was super weird to me, that like just some random lady you found out in the desert is now like leading your whole planet of people almost.
It's weird, man. So it was weird, but then like Frank Herbert's book had so much, man. It was a war movie. It was a war novel. It was a love story in there, right? It's like geopolitical politics is in there. A lot of religious aspects are in there as well.
It goes along with like the prophecy that they kept talking about. Like, I get that. I just thought it was like thought it was just super weird that, like I said, just some random lady from the desert is just now like, like just telling everybody this, that, or the other, and they're like, "All right, cool, let's go."
Dope.
Whatever. It's whatever.
So, like, I like that Rebecca Ferguson also went on a journey in this movie, man. That was really fun to watch there. He did not die. Josh Brolin's character is alive and well. Gurney Halleck, the former military leader of the House Atreides and Paul's mentor, returns and basically becomes his, like, if Paul's the general, right-hand man is Gurney Halleck, man, because he just falls in line.
Yeah.
Because he's still a member of the House Atreides and, you know, is that military leader. Also introduces them to the nuclear arsenal that the Atreides has left there as well. So that plays a big role later on in the movie. He's there. He kind of doesn't believe any of the Fremen stuff, all the religious zealot stuff, but he is going to follow Paul to the ends of the earth. And like, even though he didn't believe it, he still fell in line, and I appreciated that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, when he was, when Paul was giving his speech, when they were in the temple or whatever that was called, he was, like, super proud of him, right? He was like, "That's my boy up there getting real right now," right?
you know, there was him in Duncan, Idaho, was kind of didn't know if he was ever going to grow up. You know what I mean? So you kind of got that glimpse in part one. They treated him as a kid. Now he's this grown man leading an entire army against the Harkonnen. So, and Gurney got to see it with his own eyes. Yeah. All right, man. Let's talk about Austin Butler's character. A great addition to this film is Fade Rotha Harkonnen, the Baron's youngest nephew to the House Harkonnen. And I don't know about you, man, but I love when a character is psychotic, is a sociopath,
right,
is just a cold-blooded killer, and you believe if you met this person, he would just knife you for no reason at all. Just point blank.
Agreed.
That's the vibe.
And Austin Butler puts that out there very well. Very well.
Very well, man. Like, you thought that, you know, you kind of knew, without even knowing this story, you knew that you got this young Fade Rotha and you got this young Paul Atreides. They're going to have to throw hands eventually, right? Like, that's kind of what the story is leading up to. You don't know how, you don't know when. Hell, you didn't even know if it was going to be in this movie or not. But, like, eventually, we saw Paul's fighting skills in part one. We saw Fade Roth and how good he is with knives and, you know, what he did on his birthday and how great of a swordsman fighter he is as well. These two got to throw hands, man, and And just leading up to that and seeing that, like, it almost put, you know, it put fear, if you're rooting for Paul in this movie, Fade puts fear in your heart that, like, you know, he might get the best of Paul.
Yeah, because up, I mean, up to this point, you haven't seen anybody who is, like, fighting that well.
Yeah.
Like, all the people Paul had been fighting either almost killed him or didn't even come close to killing him at all.
Yeah.
So, you don't really know, like, how those two are going to pair up, but you see how Feud is able to handle himself. But you never really see, like, you never really see Paul take on an actual opponent, it didn't seem like, up until this point.
Yeah, he basically took on, like, the people that he did take down were all, like, stormtroopers, basically, if you want to compare them, right? They were just, like, disposable henchmen, right? But, like, even so, you get, like, humongous Dave Bautista as Glossu Raben Harkonnen and, you know, Fade's older brother. And he runs in fear once he sees Paul. Like, that was humongous to see this humongous man, humongous powerful man. He used to be a wrestler, you know, played Drax in the MCU. This humongous character... as this Raben Harkonnen turn and tuck his tail and run away in fear of Paul Atreides and what he has done on that. So, like, that means the Harkonnen like clan, House Harkonnen, is afraid of this guy. That's why Vladimir has to go get the other kid, Fade, to make some noise.
The crazier one. Right.
Exactly. So, like, the ins and outs of this movie, the storytelling, it's complex. It's, you know, it tells a lot when in this scene you see Raben running away from Paul, and then in the next scene, Vlad's like, I gotta get Fade. You know what I mean? Like, it just tells a big story. Like, I gotta get the brother to go ahead and match. So, really cool there. Really quick, we have Florence Pugh as Princess Irulan, the Emperor's daughter. She's basically in the background, but trying to understand what the hell is going on this planet the entire time in this, and also trying to see the deals that have been done with her father, the Bene Gesserit, and trying to figure out who the hell is this Maudeep character as well. So basically she's Inspector Gadget trying to figure it all out. Christopher Nolan as Shaddam, really quick character in this, didn't have many scenes, but pivotal, as come to find out.
I believe you said Christopher Nolan just now.
I got Oppenheimer on the mind, bro. Still.
Yeah. Still, man. Yeah, I feel you.
Just beautiful movie, man.
Walking. Christopher Walken, just for the
Christopher for the Walken. Fans. Famous from what is he famous from? What's a Christopher Walken movie?
I don't know. He's getting
Joe
there,
Dirt. His Joe Dirt really
growing right now.
Joe Dirt. He's famous for Joe Dirt, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. That's the movie.
It's the only thing he's famous for, yeah.
If you want to see an Oscar worthy performance of Christopher Walken, you watch Joe Dirt, damn it, okay?
So good.
That's it.
Such a good movie.
Oh, man. Yes, Christopher Walken as Shaddam IV, the Emperor, and basically the guy, you know, come to find out, he's the one who's actually in that high tower doing the wheeling and dealing and telling people what to do and what he wants. And his daughter even says in this movie, it's not even a secret, my father's like a weak man, and all he really cares about is money and power, not like loyalty and stuff like that. And that told everything you need to know about this guy. He'll change his mind in a second, depending on what the dollar bills say. So, Lea Seydoux is in this. Margot Faring, she is a close friend of the Emperor, but also has a thing with Fade. Bene Gesserit is just weird, man. I still don't really understand their dealings as far as their whole purpose. I understand they have like religious purposes and they're good advisors, but
yeah,
she slept with Fade, so she was like, House Harkonnen is like safe in me, and I promise it was a girl. Like
yeah.
Okay, there's some stuff I just don't know. Would love to know how things work, but whatever.
Yeah, her little part in there was kind of weird.
Very.
I didn't follow why, other than she was trying to have a baby. Maybe just to protect the bloodline, I guess.
I guess so. That's their whole purpose right there. Protect these great house bloodlines or something, but who knows?
Right.
Stellan Skarsgård brings a fantastic, scary performance as Vladimir Harkonnen, head of House Harkonnen, Fade Rotha and Glossel's uncle, sworn enemy to the Atreides, and former steward of Arrakis. When it comes to being a bad guy, like, Stellan killed it here. He was a bad guy in like all the prosthetic fat suit. He was floating. There's a lot going on here with this guy. But he pulled it off, and he was very scary the entire time, man.
Yeah, he's a guy that's got it either way, right? He's a villain, or he can be pretty funny too, like he was in Thor. Yeah. He can be funny and play that role, and then he's like, this one was a very intimidating role.
Humongous too, yeah. Yeah. All right. My favorite character of the movie, Stilgar, leader of the Fremen tribe of the Stitch Tabar. And the reason why I love Stilgar is the undying devotion and support of Paul as the Messiah. Like,
right.
I love it. I love the scene where he was just like, Paul was like, yeah, I'm not a Messiah. And then Javier Bardem's character, Stilgar, was just like, look at him. He goes and does something amazing, and then he says that he's not the Messiah. Yeah. That makes him more Messiah-like, or something along those lines, right? And like,
yeah, that's so good.
It's like, what? Yeah. He's saying that he's not, but your undying faith, man. And like that right there, a lot of movies that we see these days, he kind of reminds me of, going back to the Matrix, he kind of reminds me of Morpheus in that regard, where like Morpheus always believed in him undying and was not going to stop either. So definitely appreciate characters like this, man. And it's Javier Bardem, and he's just naturally funny, right? He doesn't try to be funny in his movies. He is just a funny guy with his delivery, with his accent and everything.
Yeah.
Don't try to impress me on that. You know, don't die. You're probably going to die. Like, just the little lines that he does, man, is just perfect. So, all right, man. Real quick, Anya Taylor-Joy makes an uncredited cameo as Aaliyah Atreides, Paul's unborn sister, Pierce's vision. So that was kind of cool to see in this movie as well. Dude.
Right.
Javi.
What's up?
We're back on the planet Arrakis, man. Just,
yes, we are.
The look and feel, man, of this movie. Like, there's nothing there except for sand and sandworms and popcorn buckets. But talk to me about the look and feel of this movie, bro.
Yeah, I mean, we bring the same beautiful scenery as we did in the first one, right? I mean, it's just a desert, but the visual effects of the lighting and like the texture of the sand when the wind's blowing through it, the twinkle of like the spice and stuff in the sand.
Yeah, that was dope.
Just a real big movie.
Yeah.
Even like when you're indoors in like the meeting rooms and stuff like that, everything is humongous, like just big open spaces.
Yes. Okay. I love that you brought that up because even
that's
like
just kind of like a flow through the whole movie.
And yeah, and even like in those rooms, like those big caverns where the Fremen go, or even the where the House Harkonnen kind of hang out at, or whatever. In this movie, there's so much texture to the walls. I noticed that, man. Like I spent a lot of time seeing what they're talking about, but also looking in the background. There's just so much texture and space, and just everything has meaning in this movie, man. And that was just really cool to see. My favorite obviously was when he rode the humongous sandworm, but also just those small moments of when they set up those camps, right? When he's having these conversations amongst other Fremen people, he kind of gets his nickname and everything. Like even that's a very lived place, man. Everything about this world, everything, loved it.
Yeah. All the sandworm stuff was really awesome. Like they had the one part where it was like three or four of them side by side that they were riding when they were going from north to south through the storms. There's like four humongous worms just coming out of this sandstorm.
This is what y'all do, man.
And like I said, you know, just a view of this humongous desert and this humongous sandstorm and humongous worms and just little tiny people on them. We're driving them.
just <Great. laughs> it was so awesome. Really, it was just things that we've never seen before that we're watching, and we're like, dude, this is a world. Like how Star Wars is a universe, how Star Wars is a world. This is a world that we've never seen before, man. And this is, I love being on Arrakis. I love being on the planet Dune, man. It's just really a good time. Even when you're on the Harkonnen planet for Fade's birthday, and that black moon or whatever, or that black sun or whatever, like that's just really cool. The whole movie vibe changed. You get these oranges and yellows and beautiful, bright everything, right? And then it just changes to this black and white. That's everybody. That's everything, and it's. Yeah, it's still beautiful, man. It changes your mood, but like you're like following another story. You're following another movie, and then it kind of kicks you back over here, back to Arrakis, man. So just big ups to this, man. Real quickly here, the music, the one and only, Hans Zimmer. Need I say more? He's a legend. He's been doing it for decades. Everything that happened in here, man, the fight scenes, the love story, everything, you felt that through the composition in this movie, man. The orchestra, Hans Zimmer just brought it, man. I can't say enough of the feeling I had while he was writing that sandworm, man.
Right to the heart, right? Right to the heart.
Yep. All right, brother. Go ahead and wrap up this section here. I do have a theme here. We got fulfilling your purpose, avenging your family name, charting a path for yourself. You know, Paul goes on a ride in this movie and grows up as the savior of Dune, fulfills the prophecy, and does what he has to do, man. And, like, you know, a lot of movies do start with like just that kid and then their journey and then their success or whatever, man. But we don't see anything that lasts 5 hours long. Right. And you get to see all the parts and everything that he's going through. Cause typical fashion in movies like that, they go super fast. Right. And it's just like, all right, 3 minutes here, 3 minutes here, 3 minutes here, 3 minutes here. We got to spend like, moments. We got to spend hours understanding this kid, understanding like his process. The fact that he didn't want to be the Messiah. If he went south, he knew that he was going to see death, right? Like avoiding things and living up to all that and understanding. It was fantastic, man. All All right, team. So that is our conversation about Dune Part 2. JV, give me your thoughts and ratings on this flick, brother.
Yes, sir. Yeah, man, we're going to go with 4 buckets of popcorn on this one this week.
Nice.
I'm glad it fell into the same path as the first one. We're still on this gigantic planet, and we get to see this gigantic planet and interact with random times, right? There's a ship that comes down and tries to farm spice, so we blow it up every once in a while, right? I'm sure there's a bunch more going on than that. But every time they do it, it's kind of for a purpose, right? They raid the people, they raid the ships, and they get more weapons. We see them constantly arming themselves. Details like that is what really made this movie great for me, was every scene being very crucial.
Yeah.
And like you said, for Timothy and Zendaya, putting on a great performance for us. Timothy really leading this movie for 3 hours, just front and center. So it's going to get 4 buckets for me, sir. How about you?
Good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Yes, sir.
Top notch cast. You can't ask for a better cast than this, man. This is great. Great performances from all. This is different than jumping into a Star Wars movie where there's already a process that you kind of jump in and copy with Star Wars. You kind of know Star Wars is a poem where you kind of can jump in and see what's been done before and kind of add your own mix, but you're gonna still follow that path that has came before. These characters, these actors, they said, you know what? All we have is the book. All we have is the script by Spatz and Denny. That's what we're going to go off of. That's what we're going to go on. We have nothing else. And you saw them create, right? Right. A lot of people dub Dune as an adult Star Wars. I wouldn't go that far, but I see kind of what in regards they're talking about, man. I think the Oscars are going to be a year from now, man. This movie's going to be fantastic, and it's going to probably sweep like Oppenheimer did. This movie, man, 5 buckets of popcorn. It's beautiful. All right. Sounds amazing. Has great acting. The love story, the action, the threat. The threat level Midnight in this movie, man, is just huge to the Fremen people and to the world itself if the Harkonnens are able to control the spice. So,
well, we're going for another round, right? So
I think we're going for part 3.
About to get real nuts.
We're going off world.
We have to go for
Dune, 5 buckets of popcorn. This is, for me, man, a perfect movie. 2024 is off to a good start. Thank you for subscribing to this week's episode, Talking Through Dune Part 2. Next week, we'll be discussing the American Society of Magical Negroes.
You can catch that in a theater near you.
Like always, I am Clyde Smith. You can find me across all socials. I am Clyde D. Smith.
I am Javier Villalobos. You can find me across all socials at Mr. J8200.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
The spice.